this high priority of raising kids. So we've brought the focus down a little closer. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about home, our home, your home. And I hope that there's not anything that I'd rather preach on than the home, especially to the fathers. I love to preach to men because I think that God has set us up to do what we in the home to be the leader. Right. And I want us to focus in on that, this high priority, and understanding that children are a heritage of the Lord. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. This will be a very familiar passage to you, but it's a wonderful passage. It will bless your heart as it has mine, I hope. Psalms 127, and look at verse 1. Now, before you stand, I want you to think about something. This passage has to do with me and you individually. It's not about building a house. It's about building a life. It's about building your life. It's about building your family's life. And most of you know, because you've reached grandparenting age, and some of you beyond that. Gwen and I, we had our first great-grandchild last week. And, you know, I thought my grandkids was the prettiest, most precious things that they were, and then we got this great grandchild. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but I know it's going to be good. I hope we get to spend a lot of time with her. I went through the nursery one day, and I made a fatal mistake here at Osage, and there was some grandparents in there, and there was a lot of grandkids on the floor playing, I said, is it just me, or is my grandkids the prettiest and the smartest kids in this room? And boy, I got flogged from one end to the other. So you know how you feel about your own bunch. But I want us to bring this focus down to the job that you and I are to be doing. You just do not get through with this job. It just continues on and on. It goes from your children to your grandchildren to your great-grandchildren if you're lucky enough to live long enough for that to happen to you. And the Lord has so much to say in this passage to us. I want us to look at this, the high priority of parenting that's found in this passage. There's a high privilege here of parenting. That's a privilege. That's a privilege. Oh, man. And then God has a purpose in your parenting, as he does in mine and grandparenting. So let's stand together as we look to God's Word. And that's where all the answers are found. You're not going to find it anywhere else. This is where all the answers are found. Now look at the very first word, except. This is the exception. This is that we except the Lord does it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now I understand he's not talking about building house.
Right. Amen.
He's talking about your family here.
Right.
He's talking about your family. He's talking about my family. Except the Lord keep the city. Still talking about your family. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat, the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Does that not make sense now? I mean, literally, you're waiting for that car door to close. You're waiting to hear that motor come up in the driveway. The front door to open. And then you can go to sleep. You know everything's all right. They're home. Now he begins to expound the thought. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Wow. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We're looking for happiness. And sometimes we're looking in all the wrong places. Now right here's where our focus is to be. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You show up here on Wednesday night and see all these, linoleum suckers running around everywhere. Amen. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Father, we come before your throne of mercy, oh Lord, and grace. And Lord, I want to pray for the parents who are here today and the grandparents and great-grandparents that you'll open our ears and our eyes to the truth of your word today. Help us to make this a high priority in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look, first of all, at the high priority of parenting. So what is it that is to take priority in my life? What is it that is to take priority in my life? The devil wants us to have our priorities out of order. Amen. And he will whisper things in our ears that this is more important than this is. Well, you want to be sure that he's going to have those priorities out of order. Anytime that you think that your career or your job takes priority over your family, you have made a tragic mistake. Amen. It does not. Matter of fact, anytime that you think that your happiness takes priority over your family, you have made a tragic mistake, because happiness is not there. Right. Happiness is in this last verse that we read. The man who has his quiver full of them. My relationship with my Lord is the most important thing is to be. I want to make sure that you understand that I know that it's not always where it ought to be. But it should be. My greatest relationship in my life should be my relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not always where it should be. Sometimes I wonder if it is ever where it should be. But that is to be the top priority in my life, is my relationship with God. And I'm telling you, folks, men, when you get your relationship with God right, everything else is going to fall in order.
Amen.
Now, we're going to talk about getting those things in order, but that is to be top priority, your relationship with God. So do you know Christ as your Savior? You cannot give. There is no way. You can't give your family what they need and not be a Christian.
Amen.
Now, I don't know any other way to say it. You can't be the man that God has called you to be unless you have got to take charge. I'm not going to go there. You have got to take charge. You spiritually, you've got to take charge. When you take charge spiritually, that puts everything in order. That don't mean that you're the high dog. Matter of fact, means you're the low dog. When you get those priorities set. So do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you do not, would you do that today? Would you accept Christ as your personal Savior today and get that priority started in the right relationship? Secondly, my relationship with my spouse is to be the second priority in my life. Well, I thought you was talking about raising kids here. I thought you was going to talk about that your relationship with your kids would be the second priority in your life, because I've already fouled up this relationship with my wife, so I'm going to transfer that to my kids. No. Your relationship with your spouse is the second most important relationship. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been married, or how little you've been married. Time. That relationship is the one that you and I are to be working on. And I'm telling you, I know that mine needs working on. I've got to... one that can ring the bell right here on this front pew. And I don't want her to get up and go to waving some kind of hands. Wait a minute. Are you preaching what you believe, brother? That is to be the top priority. So any improvement that you and I make in our relationship with our spouse improves our family. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church." Has that verse ever really made an impact in you, your life, and my life? Love your spouse like Christ loved the church? What did Christ do for the church? Yes. He died. He gave his life, his blood. You're talking about blood, sweat, and tears. He gave his life for the church. And then down the road, here we go, after the spouse, my relationship with my children and their families. Did you get that? My relationship with my children and their families. Don't you like to dislike your daughter-in-law and son-in-law? They don't ever do the suit. Say, just don't treat my son like he needs to be treated. They don't treat my daughter like they need to be treated. So, we're to work on that relationship. I think one of the things that God has done in my life of late, and I'm talking about the last couple years, is that he's led me to be praying for my son-in-laws. And so I have set some priority in praying for my son-in-laws. I call them by name, and I pray for their relationship with God and their relationship with my daughters. I pray that God would cause my daughters to be submissive to their husbands, and to be the wife that God has called them to be. And that for my son-in-laws to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to be the spiritual leader of their home. And I didn't used to do that. But I have learned to do that. My profession is to come last. Yes. Now you say, well, Brother Lane, you pastor the church. That ought to be right up there at the top. No, it should be last, really. Yes. And I want to tell you something, dear friends. If I've got the kind of relationship with God that I'm supposed to have, and I have the kind of relationship with my wife that I'm supposed to have, and I have the kind of relationship with my children and grandchildren and their families that I'm supposed to have, you'll have one of the best pastors there is. Amen. Right. Now, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it is. We met several folks when we were out to supper the other night, came by our table, and one of them asked me, said, "Well, how's everything out at Osage?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you, the music's pretty good." I'm telling you that this is the way that you and I get our priorities in order. Our profession, that our job is to come last. And this is something that you and I will have to work at in order to keep that those things in order. Amen. They'll get out of order. And we have to work at keeping those things in order. The high privilege of parenting. In Psalms 127 and verse 3, we just read it. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Those children are a reward of the Lord. Now when you think of that, and you're thinking, "Oh Lord, why didn't you give me somebody else's kids?" No, you don't think that, do you? The fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, there's not anything that blesses my heart anymore. I don't put anything on Facebook. I'm like Mike Dishroon, I'm a stalker. I do look at those things that are on Facebook. If you send some kind of request to be my friend and I don't respond to that, don't think anything of it. I don't respond to any of them. And it's not anything personal. My wife might take my little old deal and respond to them for me, but I don't. But when I see something that my girls have put on there in a godly way, a scripture, or how God's working in their lives, or I'm praying for you, or pray for me. I've got this going on this morning. It is such a blessing in my life. In 1 Samuel 1 and verse 27, Hannah's, you remember who Hannah is? She's saying this. She gave her son to the Lord. Boy, this is such a wonderful passage. "For this child I prayed." You remember her praying? Eli thought she was drunk. Amen. Because her mouth was moving, he couldn't hear any words. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask him. Therefore also I have," look at that, "although I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Wow. Lending your kids to the Lord as long as they live. Amen. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you lend your kids? How do you just say, "Lord, here they are. Here they are." I want to tell you something. Giving your kids to the Lord, it's the best move that you can make. It is what we should do. In Proverbs 30 and verse 16 tells us that the barren womb is never satisfied. These kids are a great blessing. We were at Walmart the other night, and sometimes I have enough energy to walk around with my wife, but I get so tired trying to keep up with her, I just sit down. And she can outwalk a foxtrotter, I'll tell you. I was sitting on one of those benches out in front. I'll tell you, you want a show, you do that sometimes. If you just get a little bit bored, you won't get bored there. There's everything in the world. A man that I had known came and sat down by me, and we talked about our churches. And two of the bus kids came up and hugged me. Big old boys. Boy, you talking about lighting my candle. And it was two that I would have never thought would do that. But they spotted me, and man, here they came. And hugged me. And boy, it just blessed my heart. And so I got to brag a little bit. I got to tell that guy how many we had in church, how many kids we had the last Wednesday night. Reproduction is a privilege, not a curse. And that is true here at our church, too. All you who fear the Lord, how blessed you are. This comes from the Message Bible. How happily you walk on His smooth, straight road. You worked hard and deserve all you've got coming. Enjoy the blessing. Rival in the goodness. Your wife will bear children as a vine bears grapes. Your household lush as a vineyard. The children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive shoots. Stand in awe of God's yes. Yes, isn't that good? Oh, how He blesses the one who fears God. Enjoy the good life in Jerusalem every day of your life, and enjoy your grandchildren. Peace to Israel. That's what God is saying to us through His Word. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it. I listened to Chuck Swindoll's wife give a testimony about her in-laws, that they were never able to take their children to their house because they had so many knickknacks. Can you imagine exchanging knickknacks for grandchildren? I can't imagine it. The high purpose of parenting. God has a wonderful plan for your child's life. He has a wonderful plan for your life, but He has a wonderful plan for your child's life. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand. Do you? I mean, there's things I don't understand why some children have these parents and these children have these parents and some children are abused. I don't understand those things. But parents, let me tell you something. God has given you those children, and it is a privilege. Amen. It is a privilege. And God has a purpose for your parenting. Got a wonderful plan for your child. For I know the thoughts, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now let me close with this. Just some thoughts on parenting. Learn from your failures. Dad, if you're too big to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you're too big for your britches.
Amen. Yes.
You and I need to learn to do that. I was wrong. So learn from your failures. Forge the right path for your children. Remember what I talked about last Sunday about the bend, their bend? Help them forge that. Help them forge that. So with caution here, I'm going to talk a little bit about discipline. The Bible says that if you spare the rod, you'll spoil your child. Now, I understand that it does not have to be a physical rod. I understand that. And for some children, a spanking is not what they need. For some. For most, it is. And you get it over with. You get it over with. Let me give you, Dad, some encouragement in that. When I was growing up, my mom, I thought my mom was, she just about killed the peach tree in the front yard. She kept all the limbs pulled off of it. And brother, when she got through thrashing you, you knew you'd had a thrashing.
Amen.
My dad, I never got a spanking from my dad. And you think that, now that's strange. He didn't do what he should have done. But he couldn't control his temper. He was shell-shocked from World War II, and he would just go out of his mind in discipline. I seen him discipline a horse. And I guarantee you don't want trace chain used on you. So he made a decision early on not to spank. He'd thump you. He could raise a knot on your head with thumping you. But he'd talk to you. Now, I'm not recommending that. I don't think that's the best way to do it. But it would break our hearts when our dad talked to us. And I still am a big old crybaby. But I certainly was then. But when the discipline was over and I was good and mad. You ever been there? There would be a time lapse. And then my dad would call you to him. And he'd get you up in his lap. And he'd say, "Now let's make up." My dad wasn't a kisser. And he wasn't much of a hugger. But he would get you up in his lap and he'd hug you and he'd say, "Let's make up." And it was all over. It's all over. I think that's a good form of discipline. I think that you can spank your children, give them some time to think about what has taken place, and then make up.
Amen.
Get it all over. I spanked my kids. I spanked my girls until they were teenagers because they needed it. And it worked with them, I think. One of the things that when they got a certain age, I called them together and I said, "I'm not going to spank you anymore." It was killing me. I said, "I'm not going to spank you anymore. We're going to come up with some other form of discipline. But I'm not going to spank you anymore." And the two oldest ones just rebelled because they said, "Rebecca still needs spankings. It's not right for you to stop spanking her, and she's so much younger than us, she needs to have to wait until she is as old as us for you to stop spanking her." But we didn't. I stopped spanking them all at the same time. And they got talkings too from then on out. But I think spanking is good. I think you shouldn't do it when you're mad. You shouldn't do it because they have embarrassed you.
Right.
You should do it because it's the right thing to do. Because they have done wrong. Now, if they done wrong and they didn't know they was doing wrong, that's a whole different deal. And if they're showing out and they're embarrassing you a little bit, You never should discipline your child because you've been embarrassed of them. I mean, it needs to be a different deal. It needs to be because they've done wrong. Now, they might do wrong and embarrass you. But when they have sinned, when they have done wrong, then you need to correct them. You need to do that with great caution. Teach your children morality. Teach them to be moral. Teach them what is right. Not to steal. Not to lie. Always tell the truth. And I'm telling you, they need to see that from their parents.
Amen.
Their parents need to always tell the truth. I mean, when you tell your child, "I'm going to throw you out the window if you do that again," and then they do it again, you need to throw them out the window. I mean, you need to keep your word. You and I need to keep our word. Now, don't do it in a moving car at 55 miles an hour. But you and I need to keep our word. When we tell our children something, they need to be able to trust that we are telling the truth. And when they hear us talk to other people, they need to know that we're always telling the truth, that we would not steal, and that we'd always tell the truth, that we're going to dress appropriately, we're going to talk appropriately, we're not going to, I'm not going to go into that either, but we should do what is right to give them the example that they are to follow.
Amen.
Do your parenting on your knees.
Amen.
I don't know if any better advice that I could give you.
Amen.
Do your parenting on your knees. You think that's the least thing you could do or I could do? It's the greatest thing that we could do. Pray for your kids. Pray for them. Pray for them when they're babies. Pray for them before they're born. Pray for them as teenagers. They're facing more than you and I ever thought about facing. More temptation than you and I ever thought about. It's more readily available, even for little children, than we ever thought. They're in more danger than you and I were ever in. We need to do our parenting on our knees. And I tell you, there's not anything wrong with your children seeing you and your wife on your knees. I think it would be good to do that. Continue to parent even in hard times. You ever want to give up? Oh, I have. You've got to continue to parent even when it's very difficult to parent. Keep your family together. Treat your wife with great, great respect. And do that in front of your children. A young man came to talk to me about taking my daughter out on a date. Her first date. She was 16 years old. Leroy McDougal, you believe I remember his name? He had to come and talk to me before he could take my daughter out. I spent about an hour telling him how much my daughter meant to me.
Amen.
And he better treat her with respect. Already have me to deal with. He never came back.
Amen.
He stood her up. Boy, was she mad at me. Leroy McDougal is in Ohio. My grandson had a wreck last week, totaled out my old Buick in Ohio. Leroy McDougal's working on the pipeline in Ohio. Madison's working on the pipeline in Ohio. Leroy McDougal headed to the hospital to check on Madison.
Amen. Amen.
An hour and a half away. Some way I convinced him how much my kids meant to me and how much my grandkids meant to me. He decided I better do. No. No, he's grown up now and he's learned a lot of things, I'm sure. And he may not even remember that conversation. But some of you guys have got that to do.
Amen.
I feel for you. But you better parent in the most hard times. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not a Christian, I want to give you an invitation to come to accept Christ as your Savior. This is your first step. Then you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism.